The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
Preparing escape pod for war.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow. Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future. And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art.
Power.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came in the logbook.com's Escape Pod.
August 27th.
I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1962, NASA successfully launched its first interplanetary mission, Mariner 2. After a three-month cruise, Mariner 2 was the first spacecraft to make a close flyby of Venus and report its findings back to Earth. Mariner 2 helped fill in the blanks since little was known of conditions on the second planet from the Sun.
New dimensions were added to man's understanding of space with the successful voyage of Mariner 2. The mission put a satellite within looking distance of the planet Venus, some 30 million miles away. A navigation problem which would defy solution without today's electronic computer. For this interception, the Mariner could not take the straight line distance between two points, rather a long curving orbit covering 182 million miles and taking 109 days.
While Mariner 2 didn't carry cameras on board, its instruments did reveal that Venus had a dense atmosphere that was trapping heat, leaving the surface hot enough to melt lead. In 1979, construction began at the North American Rockwell plant in Palmdale, California, on the third spaceworthy specimen in the growing space shuttle fleet, Discovery. And on this day in 1985, Discovery lifted off on her sixth mission.
10, 9, we have a go for main engine start, and we have main engine start. 4, 3, 2, 1, ignition and liftoff. Liftoff of 51I and the commercial deploy and repair mission. It has cleared the tower.
Roger, roll, Discovery.
Program initiated. Houston now controlling.
In 2016, Juno completed its first and closest orbit of the planet Jupiter. How close? Less than the distance it takes to cross the continental United States. Nobel Prize-winning chemist Carl Bosch was born on this day in 1874. He was a pioneer in the field of high-pressure chemical reactions. In 1926, Christian Nygaard was born. He's the co-inventor of object-oriented programming. Paul Rubens, better known as Pee-wee Herman, was born in 1952. Vic Mignogna, who starred as Captain Kirk in the fan film series Star Trek Continues, was born in 1962.
I believe we were scheduled to rendezvous with the Potemkin.
Yes, sir. In under 4 hours.
Well, let's not keep them waiting. Lieutenant Uhura, contact them. Let them know we'll be lighting all the boilers, if that's all right with you, Mr. Scott.
As if you had to ask.
In 1982, Donkey Kong got just a little bit smaller.
Ah! Mr. Arcade, get him out of here!
He's playing Donkey Kong!
You like Donkey Kong, eh? Okay, big fella. It's the official tabletop version of Donkey Kong, and it looks, plays, and sounds the same. It even has different screens as you get higher, and even more important, you can take Donkey Kong home.
Official Donkey Kong, the arcade game you can take home with you from Coleco.
Coleco, the makers of the ColecoVision video game console, continued their streak of tabletop mini arcade games with a version of Donkey Kong. The extremely limited static graphics didn't do the game any favors, but Donkey Kong-loving kids everywhere, not to mention their parents, who were tired of video games dominating the family TV, rejoiced anyway. In 1993, the Third Doctor returned.
Time ran.
Oh, don't tell me. The TARDIS was attacked by a randy sheep with a clock for a face.
Time collision.
She collided with another TARDIS in the time vortex. They ended up inside each other.
You mean the TARDIS was inside the other one?
Hmm. And the other one was inside the TARDIS. No way out, like being inside a four-dimensional Möbius strip.
I have a feeling you're not taking this interview very seriously, Doctor. My editor...
Interview?
Well, she's going to say it's a load of old rubbish.
You mean to tell me you've been interviewing me?
Well, yes, I thought you...
Look, my dear Miss Smith, just because you saved my life a couple of times, that hardly entitles you to...
Ah, there you are, Doctor.
Of course I am. Where else should I be? Honestly, Lethbridge Stewart, at times you can be extremely annoying.
Ah, good morning.
Oh, this is Miss Sarah Jane Smith, journalist. She's just leaving.
John Pertwee teamed up once more with Nicholas Courtney as the Brigadier and Elizabeth Sladen as Sarah Jane Smith for the first full-scale Doctor Who radio drama since the 80s, The Paradise of Death. The five-part adventure aired on BBC Radio and was written and directed by Barry Letts, the showrunner in charge of Pertwee's Doctor Who tenure on TV. In 2000, TNT brought the indie comic Witchblade to live-action TV as the two-hour pilot movie starring Yancey Butler premiered.
You happen to know what this is?
The Witchblade.
The Witchblade.
Huh.
Well, somehow, during a shootout at the Midtown Museum, the Witchblade happened to find its way onto my wrist. Does this belong to you?
Does anything really belong to anybody, Sarah?
That's quite an evasive answer, Mr. Irons.
If the Witchblade does belong to one person, it belongs to you, Sarah.
And in 2011, the mystery of River Song was unraveled at last.
What are you doing here?
Well, I was on my way to this gay gypsy bar mitzvah for the disabled when I suddenly thought, gosh, the Third Reich's a bit rubbish. I think I'll kill the Führer. Who's with me?
Shoot her.
As the sixth season of the revived Doctor Who series continued from its mid-season cliffhanger with the episode Let's Kill Hitler. You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. Thelogbook.com's podcasts and video productions are entirely listener, viewer, and reader supported, and there's more than just the escape pod. There's Retrogram, where you pick a week between 1970 and 1990 to reassess all of that week's sci-fi, horror, superhero, and fantasy shows. There's Select Game, expanded memories of the Odyssey 2, covering one of the great overlooked classic video game systems. There are the frequent Phosphor.Fossils YouTube videos, each one revisiting classic arcade, computer, and home video games from the 70s through the 90s. And there are the Logbook.com's original books and ebooks, and much more. You can find ebooks or anything you might want to order from online vendors such as Amazon or eBay at thelogbook.com/store. Our original designs can be found on everything from t-shirts to socks to shower curtains to non-medical grade face masks at thelogbook.redbubble.com. You can support The Logbook on an ongoing basis at patreon.com/thelogbook or at ko-fi, that's ko-fi.com/thelogbook. You can also help us out by subscribing to CBS All Access or Amazon Prime through the ads you'll find on nearly any page on thelogbook.com. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
Commencing escape pod landing procedure. The logbook of your escape pod was written and produced by our team.